Well, good evening and welcome to Living Clean and Sober with Johnny Rags and my ever capable co-host, Ken McDonald.
And you're funny tonight, Johnny.
We have to welcome our new engineer,
yes,
Art.
Yes, welcome.
Welcome, Art.
Hello.
Thank you for coming, Art.
Coming. And Allison's in the studio tonight.
A pleasure.
That's right. Pleasure to have you.
And Katrina, let's not forget Katrina.
And of course, our guest,
yes.
Katrina.
Hi.
Hello. How are you tonight?
About a 2-hour drive to get here for Katrina, so that's a little bit about service work.
Drive over the mountains of Buffalo to get here.
Yeah, and here she is.
Long 15-minute drive.
Katrina's one of our local friends in Pennsylvania. So we're coming to you live from City of Angels. We do a lot of neat stuff here. The ball game was awesome.
Absolutely, yeah. A little rain delay. I needed a little break.
Yeah.
I was actually glad that it kind of rained. You know what I mean? Nice little, you know, few minutes there to network with some people. Say hi. You know, I have this disease sometimes. It doesn't want me to say hi to people.
That's right.
You know,
that's
it wants me to sit in the corner by myself.
Alienated.
Hating my life. You know what I mean? When, you know, the miracle happens when I can say hi to somebody and, you know, how was your day? You know, how was your, you know, how you doing with the game? Like, we knew a couple of the players. I didn't know Joey hurt his arm or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He was on the show a few weeks ago.
He was just on the show with us. Yeah.
He thought he would never throw a baseball again. The disease of addiction had him backed into a corner. He would never play sports again. He would never talk to his family again. He would just exist. And here, the miracle was happening right in front of our eyes. He came in to share it with us that night. Like you're going to do tonight.
Yeah.
Yay.
Katrina, you know. Yeah.
Don't seem so excited.
Yeah, I mean, from the beginning, right, John?
Yeah.
We all had beginnings.
Yeah, yes,
I mean,
we do.
You know, this is a beginning for Art.
Speaking of the beginning, this is, you can go on City of Angels website, www.cityofangelsnj.org. And participate in all the lovely functions they have around here. They do CRS classes, family meetings, whatever your niche is, to find it to volunteer and fit in. So you go on that website to listen to us. It's www.coaradio.com. And to call in live for questions for Katrina or myself or any of the staff at 609-241-7103. After all this time, I finally know that by heart. So, Katrina.
Still.
But if it wasn't hanging on the wall, would you have known it?
Probably not.
He's still up.
It's in my phone.
Mm.
Yeah. So, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
We have an array of questions, like we do for all of our guests.
Sure, I have a bunch of answers.
I'm sure you do. That's why you're here. So, tell us a little bit about how it was for you when you got clean.
When I got clean. I went to rehab 5 years ago, and I went to this rehab in Chester, Pennsylvania, and they suggested that I go to a recovery house because they said I wasn't well enough to go back home. And
How did you take that?
You know what? I agreed. Like, I really, truly did. I was really scared to go back home. I knew that going back home might mean that I would die. And I think I had a very clear visualization of my death, my impending death, if I went back home. So, you know, I had a daughter, and I was like, well, what about my daughter? And, like, the first thing my counselor said was, where have you been the past 7 years? And she said, what's a few more months? And so I said to my sister, I'm like, it's just going to be 3 months. It's just going to be 3 months. I'm going to go live in a recovery house in Levittown, which, by the way, I thought was, like, in the mountains of Buffalo. And and it wasn't. It was 45 minutes away from Delaware County, which was where I was from. So I went to a recovery house, and, you know, recovery house was It was sober living. It taught me how to be an adult, you know, because I felt like I was 12 years old trying to live a life that I had no idea about. I didn't know how to be a mother. I didn't know how to be a wife. I didn't know how to clean a house right. I didn't know how to pay bills right. Right. You know, and like all of a sudden, like this house, these women who had been doing the same thing as me and were learning with me, we were all teaching each other how to live, mm-hmm. you know. And then I was introduced to a 12-step fellowship that helped me live a life according to principles.
So was the introduction to the 12-step fellowship through that house that
yes,
you were in?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. They were very strong on the fellowship that I'm in, and they recommended that I do that. And, you know, it was... At that point, in the beginning of recovery, I was like a puppet. Anything you told me to do, I was going to do, because my desire to stay sober was greater than my desire to pick up. It really, truly was. So whatever they told me to do, I was going to do it. So when they suggested this fellowship, I was like, okay, all right, I'll give it a try. We'll see how it is. And, you know, the minute I walked in, I felt I was home. For the first time in 29 years, I was home.
What a great feeling, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Oh. It was incredible. It was just like this weight, you know? And I knew that if I did what they told me to do, I was going to be okay. I had a firm belief that I was going to be okay as long as I did what these people told me to do. And
so what did you think when they said, well, where you've been for the last 7 years? What went through your mind then?
Where was I?
Because I see a lot of people...
Physically, I was there.
Like that.
Yeah.
Like they try... All of us try to sabotage recovery when we get here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we try to disqualify ourselves. I'm different. Like, I didn't use that drug. Or I didn't use for that long.
Yeah.
Whatever it might be. And then, after we get to the real stuff...
Yeah.
Which it sounds like you were already there when they had... suggested it.
And I was. Like, that's the craziest part. Like,
it's a gift.
It really is that gift of desperation.
Right.
That true gift of desperation. Like, it was...
You didn't know it was a gift then.
I had no idea. And, like, when I look back on it, that was just one of those moments of God's grace. Like, it really was. You know, I was very fortunate. When I was in rehab, they told me, you never have to do drugs again. You never have to drink again. And they were so stern about it. And, like, I mourned. I cried hysterically for, like, 3 or 4 days. Like, I was losing my best friend. Mm. How do I live without this? How do I talk to people? How do I have relationships with people? Because the only way I knew how to do any of that was talking or was using.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mourned it. And, like, my counselor said, all right, are you done now? And I said, I think I am. He said, let's start working then. And that's what we did. And that's what the fellowship that I'm in did for me too. You know, it was, have you had enough? And I said, yeah, I did. Like, I really, truly did. And they said, all right, well, let's start working. And that's what I did. And, you know, I was introduced to a new way of life, to steps and to helping people and to a relationship with God that, like, I grew up Catholic, and it was nothing. The relationship that I had growing up with God doesn't even compare to the relationship that I have with a God of my understanding today. It's mind-blowing. Like, and I know as long as I have faith, things will work out. And sometimes it's hard. You know, like, you don't see that light at the end of the tunnel. It's hard.
Yeah, it takes time, I mean, to see that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just don't walk into a recovery house, start trusting someone.
Absolutely.
Start listening to someone. I mean, there's going to be a fight. I mean, you know.
I broke every rule. I broke every rule
possible. You know, going to bed at a certain time, having the buddy for a couple of weeks. I mean, those are things that
buddies.
You need to surrender to. You know.
But you're absolutely right. And, like, I got kicked out of my first recovery house because I broke rules.
Did you?
I did everything but get loaded.
I can't see that. Katrina breaking rules? Nah.
I know. I'm
She's
so different today. But I did.
But she did.
I did. I broke every single rule that you could break besides getting loaded. I thought it was okay to still steal from stores. Like, I thought I was entitled to do shoplifting. And, like, I thought it was okay to, like, hang out with dudes in other recovery houses.
Problem.
Yeah. No, I really did it in the beginning, but that's okay. I had nothing. I didn't have a pot to piss in. But, so I went on to another recovery house, and it was a spiritual-based recovery house. And every week they had the Life Recovery Bible. They would come in once a week.
Nice.
Yeah, I saw that on the wall, and I was taken back. But it was every morning.
So you have experience with that?
I do. Small bits. But it's been a long time. But every morning at 8 o'clock, me and the girls in my house, we had to get up and we had to pray together. And we had to read from a daily, for something from a daily literature, whether it be One Day at a Time or the Big Book or, you know, daily reflections, anything like that. We had to read from it. And, like, that was what catapulted me into a spiritual life. It truly did. And I could complain about that house as much as possible. And it was a hard house to live in. But, like, I thank that woman every day. I thank God for that, putting that woman in my life every day, because she gave me a better relationship and a better understanding of God. So, you know.
That's huge.
Yeah. I was there. It was.
A lot of people struggle with that in the beginning, you know, as far as a relationship with God. And, you know, it goes with all of it. Like, I mean, my story is probably similar. When I first got clean, I was in a recovery house 3 hours away from Philly. And 21 guys. Didn't know a soul. And I was angry. You know, they suggested I go there. And I was living in South Philly at the time. And the psychiatrist and my counselor both said, if you have anything at all with you, you'll go to Williamsport. If you go back to South Philly, you're dead. That's what they told me. And, you know, of course I said, what do they know about that? You know?
But, yeah.
You know, and talking
I don't know anything.
With my people after group and all that. And, you know, I went. I did not want to go, but I went. I had took the bus up there, so it was like a 5-hour ride.
Wow.
And
a lot of time to think.
Too much time. So longest 5 hours of your life.
I had been with this girl who was in my home group at the time. And, you know, we kind of parted ways because I used. And, you know, I was thinking about all that on the way up there. And I don't know, to this day, I don't know how I did that. But I just... It was a long time, and by the time I got there, it was like 11:30.
How long were you in that house for?
6 months. I went to three. I didn't work, so here's a surprise. So I went to 3 meetings a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do the morning meditation, all of us, before everybody left for the day, and you know, there was a 9 o'clock meeting, 12 o'clock meeting. I'd come home. Watch HBO for a little while.
Sopranos.
Oh, I don't know. It wasn't on there. And, you know, then I'd eat dinner with the guys in the house, take a shower, go to a meeting at night. And we'd walk to every meeting we went to because no one had a car.
That's what we did.
And it was, you know, we played softball. We had a lot of unity in that house. And by the time I was there for a month, you know, we had a good thing going on. And, you know, I just kept going to meetings. I didn't count. I just kept going. And, you know, before that, they didn't have a bed, so I had to wait after I got out of treatment. And my parents wouldn't let me stay there because they didn't trust me. So they said, and they were going down the shore. They had a place down there then. And they were taking, my daughter was 4 years old. And they said, we're taking rocks and we're going down the shore. We suggest.
That word gets thrown
right.
out a lot.
We suggest you stay with your brother while we're gone. So it was about a week that I had to wait. But all that time, I had people picking me up for meetings. I was going to meetings every day. And, you know, when it was time to go, I left. And I kept saying, man, I hope they keep taking longer and longer so I don't have to go up there. But it was only less of, it was about on the 7th day after I was out of treatment that I went.
Nice.
And I stayed clean after that. But, you know, it was, I fought it tooth and nail. I mean, for my first meeting was 1986, and I didn't get clean till 88. So I was in and out, playing with the program, you know. You know, asking the guy that sponsored 35 people, you know, just so I could say that he was my sponsor. I didn't really put much into it. And I would tell people outside of meetings, well, you have to do that. That's not for me. Like, I don't have to do that. And until I surrendered to that idea that I was different or better than or less than, then I wasn't going to get it.
Yeah.
And I remember walking to a meeting going, instead of going this way, I went that way and copped in that whole two-year process of coming in and out. And I got tired of raising my hand and saying I used again, so I just show up that way. And I start nodding and burning coffee cups up because there's a lot of smoke in meetings back then. And that's what I did, and, you know.
Well, that wasn't Katrina's path.
No.
Which is good. You know, you kind of walk through. You
one and done.
Phone calls.
Well, I have gone to rehab before.
Oh, okay. You neglected to mention
No, I didn't say that. But you know what? Like, that rehab experience was, I knew I was going to drink. I knew that I was going to do some other things. I went there to get people off my back.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, they've thrown around some fellowships and, like, maybe you should go to some meetings when you get out of here. And I went to a few meetings, and I met some people down in Delaware County, and I said, oh, this is fun. I'm done, though. And that was it, you know.
I'm an alumni of many places.
I know. You know some of the same people I know.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, and, like, but I knew that that wasn't what I wanted at that time. Like, I knew that. And I knew that I just needed to get these people to be quiet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just back off a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hassle, getting high, having people bugging you.
Yeah, it's a pain.
I don't want that commotion.
It's not
you
fun.
You know, it ruins the high.
No, I don't want that drama.
You know?
And
you know, you don't want to be getting high and hearing your mom, well, you know, look at you, you know.
Right.
I mean, you know, who wants to hear that?
I wanted people to trust me again, you know. And I said, oh, if I go to rehab, they'll trust me again.
That's a great word.
Yeah. And I did. I got they trusted me right away. And that was sad.
You didn't have to earn it.
I didn't have to earn it. I didn't have to work for it. That first one, that's a free gift. That's a gift. You know, I really, truly
lost it.
And it took me a long, long time for my grandmother to tell me she loved me again when I got sober. You know, this time. Like, it took a long time for her to say she loved me and she was proud of me.
I mean, that's a good point. I mean, I think people need to hear that it does take time. I think, you know, we come to this program or recovery house and we expect things to happen.
Oh, yeah. I tell my girls all the time.
Because we're not using anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not using anymore. That was a big thing for me in the 80s. Well, I'm not using anymore. Well, okay. I remember my dad told me, he said, you shouldn't have ever got dirty in the first place. I was like, what?
How about that?
Well, I mean, like, where did that come from? You know, but you know what? I mean, 30 years later, good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but it happened.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I tell the girls I sponsor that all the time. Like, you know, just because you're sober today doesn't mean you're going to be tomorrow. And that you have to really work at staying sober and gaining trust back. You know, especially women with children. You know, like, our children get affected so much, especially the older ones, you know. And they expect these kids to just forgive them. They expect them to just forgive them and just to love them unconditionally. It's hard. It's hard. I went through it with my daughter, and now she's going through it again with her father. And just, like, not trusting him, not believing him, scared to death that something's going to happen to him, you know. And, like,
well, it's legit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we don't realize when we're doing that to ourselves about how we affect families and loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the ones that I hurt the most were the closest ones
to
me.
Absolutely.
Because they were easy.
Absolutely.
They wouldn't call the police.
Mm-hmm.
So,
they would still love me no matter what.
Right.
Hey, look,
they might be disappointed, but they would love me.
For that, you know what I mean? Like, you know, yesterday we celebrated Father's Day, and I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about to say, because I'm actually truly grateful to even be able to learn this. However, through addiction, it had destroyed all my relationships with my kids to the point that only one talks to me. So that's 20%, because I have five. you know what I mean? So
what a man
and
man.
It's like, you know, hey, you
what
know,
an expensive
I mean, you guys,
lifestyle.
That didn't work for me back in the day, the recovery house. I went there, I recharged my batteries, I kissed and made up, and then I was home with the wife, only to destroy that again, because I was dealing with a disease that was not treated. There was no program in my life.
Right.
You know, I went to meetings. It was like a matter of fact. It was like, well, maybe I should go to a meeting.
No, by the way.
Yeah. You know, maybe I should go.
I know.
Not thinking
I know.
About the value of it. I thought I should. Because people told me I should. I didn't really see a whole lot of value in it. And of course, I was wrong.
No, right? Did I?
I didn't either the first time. I didn't understand. I didn't understand the full lifestyle change that I would have to do in order to be a mother, to be a daughter, to be a wife, to be an employee. Like, every single thing in my life had to completely change. There was no going back to that, because if it didn't, then I wouldn't be here.
So how did you do that? How did you?
12 steps.
12 steps.
12 steps. Principles. Mm-hmm. Listening.
Where did
to,
I hear that before?
Listening to other women and men, you know? I have some, oh, God. You know, they say women with women, blah, 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 without all that stuff. And, like, I'll tell you what, though. Like, I have men in my life that are, like, fathers to me. My father died when I was a baby, and men in my life today that are pops to my granddaughter, or to my daughters. Mm. You know, and they're just people that I know from my fellowship. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I learn from these people. I learn how to be a daughter and a mother and all that stuff. And I ask questions because I don't know what I'm doing most of the time.
Well, my famous thing was to... I told you my daughter was 4 when mm-hmm. I first got clean. And my famous thing was, act like you know. Because I didn't know. I was a single dad. Well, in that instance, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because you need to apply it.
Yeah.
And I didn't have anything to apply. So what I would do was ask people in the rooms.
Yeah.
How do you do this with your kid? How do you do that with your kid? And because I didn't know. Right. I legitimately didn't know.
I didn't know how to show love.
And she was a female, so it was even more difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know how to receive it?
I didn't for a long time. For a long time. Again, when I said I felt like I came home, that's what I came home to. Love. You know, all of a sudden these people were going to love me until I loved myself. And they really, truly did. Like, they really did. The people...
Yeah, I agree with that statement.
When I heard that, I thought that was so hokey.
I know. So I did too. I really did. Like, I didn't know.
That wasn't cool.
You're not going to love me. Do you know who I am? Trust me, you won't love me.
Yeah, but it happens. I mean, I was surrounded by love even when I was still using.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people picked me up and hung out with me, took me to meetings. And I remember going into a diner that I wasn't allowed in anymore because when I was using, I made a big scene in there. And they said, come on, you're with us, we're there every week, blah, blah, blah. And I went, and they said, I told you, stay. I said, I told you. You know, it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be embarrassed again because I knew what how they were going to react. You know, I wasn't ashamed of going up to my block where my family was and grabbing a bag of sandwiches from my mother because I couldn't go in the house. You done now?
Allergies?
Only Stephen Force.
Four is his spiritual number. So, and that, but
song about that.
I remember when somebody picked me up for a meeting, my friends after said, oh, where'd you go last night? And I was ashamed to tell them that I was going to a meeting.
Yeah.
But yet, they can see me staggering all over the block.
Right.
You know, and I wasn't. You know, my lifestyle, I had become okay with what I was doing. To a certain extent, if you know what I'm
me
saying.
Me too. Absolutely.
So going to the house, and banging on the door when I lived there, and my mom coming and saying, here. She made sure she put napkins in there. That's how much she loved me.
Yeah.
But she wanted nothing to do with my antics anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's the same thing, like addiction, alcoholism. We become conditioned to do certain things. Because it's a lifestyle that we create it. You know, we do whatever it takes to get the next one.
Yep.
No matter who we hurt, what we have to rob,
right.
Manipulate, whatever. It's the same thing. And you spent some time talking about that, how you had to recondition yourself to do certain things, like listen to people.
Yeah.
You know, trust God, trust some person, because maybe... God was working through that person. I mean, I never know.
Mm-hmm.
I never know who's going to drop that pearl that's going to help me at that moment get through whatever is bothering me. All I have to do is just, like, raise my hand or make a phone call. And that's tough calling that number. I mean, I get it. You know, I mean, I'm not kidding you. Like, the toughest thing for anyone to do is to dial a number to ask for help. Because we think, like, we got it. You know, or somebody will get me.
That's so important. We're talking about the recovery house living and stuff like that. Like, the women I sponsor, you said, picking up that phone. Like, one of the first things that I have them do, I said, oh, did you get a meeting list yet? Yeah? Call three women off that list every day. Three different women. That way, you get used to picking up that phone.
Yeah,
it's not so heavy when you're really in that jam. Absolutely. I still have a hard time calling people. It's so funny, because, like, I have, like, a really amazing group of friends in my life. There's just a couple of us, and it's absolutely wonderful. And, like, the other night, I went out with other people, and I'm like, oh, my God, there's more people out there. And it was, like, so much fun, you know?
Well, they say,
and just hanging out with you guys tonight. Like, that's fun. It's,
yeah, I mean,
it's great meeting
new
people.
I mean, I met you at 5 after 7, and we were deeply into a conversation.
About musical theater. By 7:45.
About theater, about interest. I don't know about anyone else. I didn't have any interest when I came to this program.
My interest was the next one.
You know,
yep.
I wanted to kiss and make up with the family, tell my mom I was sorry, tell my kids I love them, and I wouldn't do it again. Those were the things that I was interested in. I didn't have any hobbies. I wanted to kind of patch up.
Yep.
Or make everything that I did disappear. When it doesn't disappear, the memory doesn't disappear.
No.
Especially if it's a bad one.
People are hurting from what we did to them.
And they talk about it like a life beyond your wildest dreams, you know?
That's hokey. Another corny statement.
Another hokey.
But wow.
But it means
wow.
A lot.
No, it does.
It
because
is.
I never thought that being a mother and like running a house of my like and paying my bills like was something that was beyond my wildest dream. But just being able to suit up and show up and be the best darn mom I can be, it blows me out of the water every day. You know, it's one of the biggest successes of my life, you know.
Yeah, and I know what you're saying, because Friday my daughter graduated LPN school.
Yeah.
And well, every day she was quitting, she was crying, doubting, and then after them pictures, I took them pictures, people said to me, you did a great job.
Yeah.
You got a beautiful door, blah, blah, and a lot of them know her.
Yeah.
Because she's clean now. She's got a couple years. So it's just incredible. You talk about happy, joyous, and free, and beyond our wildest dreams. This is beyond my wildest dreams. Who would have thought I'd ever be sitting doing a radio show next to?
I was thinking about on my way over here.
You are his first night in the school.
Welcome, Mark. To do this. Welcome, Mark.
Welcome. You're doing a nice job there, my friend. Top of the hour.
I just wanted to kind of back up a minute with dreams, because you were talking about, you know, beyond our wildest dreams. And I just wanted to kind of make the statement that none of us had dreams.
Yeah.
When we came here, because I don't know about anybody else, but I was 17 and I thought I wouldn't see 25.
Yep.
That was a mindset.
I had the same.
I really thought, well, you know, our country's going to get blown up anyway.
Just live it up, right?
You know,
bother.
Yeah, it was like I was so down and out, you know. And it's not that way anymore, but it is the top of the hour, John.
Top of the hour, you're listening to Recovery House Living with Johnny Rags and my co-host Ken McDonald. www.coaradio.com to listen. 609-241-7103. We want to hear from some of our listeners. Give us a call. You'll be live on the air if you have any questions about what Katrina said or was going to say.
What are you going to say?
I'm going to say whatever you want me to say.
www.cityofangelsnj.org.
Well, you know, your experience, I mean, I think we need to touch on the process that it's taken you. I mean, how many years has it been?
I celebrated 5 years in May 19th.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, you know, the first half hour we talked about, you know, the beginning, which was a beginning for you. You had to go to the house.
Yep.
You were talking about growing up.
I was in a recovery.
You were talking about growing up.
He told me to stop talking.
No,
you can't bully our guests, bro.
Well, no, I just feel like
He can bully me. He can bully me. It's okay.
You know, it's just a bully move. I wanted to kind of clarify, because I think it's important the beginning, during, and where you're at today.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know, you were telling me you had a couple of jobs, you're very family-oriented, and you still go to meetings.
I still go to meetings.
And you still sponsor people, so Absolutely. You have a full life.
I have an incredibly full life. My recovery has been the hardest thing. Like, the past 5 years, I've dealt with some real moments where I could have went either way. You know, I lost a fiance due to this disease. I was pregnant with my 2-year-old daughter, and it was the hardest thing. But my fellowship, they carried me through that. And, like, that's the thing. You get plugged in. You get a network. You really, really... And people do for you what you would do for them. You know what I mean? Like, I remember a friend of mine, her sister died in the died. And, she, you know, we were in the rooms together, and I watched these people carry her through that. You know, I was a part of that. You know, like, we carried her through that, you know. And I said, well, at least if anything ever happens to me, you know, if my grandmom dies or something like that, I'll be okay. You know, like, I saw that. And when something did finally happen, I was okay. I mean, I had people tell me what to buy in a store because I couldn't decide if I wanted coffee or toilet paper, or maybe I should just get both. You know, like, it was, like, down to that state of shock. And, you know, life has so many twists and turns, but as long as you don't pick up, like, it's going to be okay. And, like, I remember hitting my knees and asking God, like, what do I do? How do I deal with this? And, like, all of a sudden, just like that, I had 3 new women that I was sponsoring and taking through the steps. Mm. And I said, okay, God, I get it.
Nice.
That's the way to do it.
And that's how I got through. Those women, those 3 women, will never know how much they saved me in that point in my life. And the women that I sponsor today continue, you know, because I get to do steps with them, and I get to relive my steps through them. And, you know, I do. I have 2 jobs, and I have 2 beautiful daughters, and, you know, it's not the easiest job in the world. I'm a single mom, you know, and it's not easy. It's not. You know, I still am a crazy woman sometimes.
But it beats the alternative.
Absolutely. I would rather be sober dealing with a 2-year-old tantrum and a 12-year-old witch, for lack of a better word on the radio, you know, than, you know, deal with that sober, you know, because I know that I'll get through it. Right. I know that there's that light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely.
Really hard to see sometimes. I remember when TJ died, and this one girl said to me, she's like, I don't believe your gratitude is as strong as it is. I said, why not? And I said, my gratitude didn't falter because I could have been dead with him, and I didn't pick up with him. You know, and, like, that's the thing. And, like, God got me through that moment. And, you know, it's just...
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because something just came to my mind. You know, John, I just... Things come to my mind, and somebody, I was in a meeting the other night, and somebody told me about PROGRAM. And you know what he said?
What did he say?
PROGRAM stands for People Relying on God Relaying a Message.
Mm.
And I was just like,
wow.
Oh, wow. Wow. Like, that was like, wow. Like, you know, why didn't I
That's
meet
a little
you
too many letters. Letters.
I mean, just to remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
great. I like that.
So it's
like
not such
that.
A bad thing.
Yeah.
No.
I always thought, like, a program was something that I had to get, like, I became this robot. Sort of like when I was young.
Like a cult.
Mom said, well, you got to go to church now, you know, 11 years old.
Yeah.
You know, church starts at 8:30, and, you know, you have to get there. And I always felt like I had to go because she told me, and I was respectful. So I went. I didn't pay attention. You know, we messed around. I really didn't want to be there. And then it was over. I went home and I had breakfast.
Right.
Or I went back to sleep. Right. You know what I mean? I was a kid. But, you know, at least I had the respect to go because she asked me. So I know a lot of those things were part of my character growing up. But addiction tarnished and changed all of that.
Yeah.
You know, because I became an animal. You know, because I just had to continue to fill that void with something that could never get filled. You know, and you spend some time talking about your life becoming full, you're working a couple of jobs, you're providing for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's internal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, nothing, like, I could be in a crowded room and not know anybody and go into my own world because I feel insecure, because I feel threatened by that. So, and that's the kind of stuff I tried to get rid of by using, because when I used, that went away.
Right.
I was the life of the party then. It didn't matter who I talked to or who they were. But I sit at conferences with people with 14 letters beside their name. And they're huge people in the community and the recovery field. And I fit in.
Right.
You know, and here I am with a suit and tie, and I'm thinking, how did I get here? Really?
I know.
Because my living skills were reduced to the animal level.
Right.
I mean, who has to knock on their own door where they live because they don't want you in there because you cause too much damage? I mean, young kids don't grow up like that. Who is in high school in their freshman year that's strung out on heroin at 15?
Yeah.
You know, and I thought, there's that word, that everybody did that.
Yeah.
That was insane.
I didn't want to feel at that moment. That's why I took my first pill. You know what I mean? It was so much better just to feel like numb to everything.
Reality.
You know?
And I never knew it was that.
I didn't either.
My mom used to say, why do you use like you do? Are you depressed? No, I like it.
Yeah.
I was honest.
Right.
You know, I said, I like it too much. I don't want to stop. But
that was the illusion.
Right. It started to get to go downhill real quick.
Yeah.
And I started hitting treatment rather young. I started hitting jail rather young. The arrests started to pile up. But never once did I say, is all this happening because I'm an addict,
right,
or I like to use, or I go to the methadone clinic every day.
Right.
Never. I wasn't looking for a solution because my solution was using for a long time. That was the solution. Feel bad? Get high. Feel good?
Yeah.
Get high.
Yeah.
It's raining? Get high.
Perfect excuses.
Yeah. So that was all the whole thing. But I never looked at it like that till I came into the meetings. It never dawned on me to see it that way because I was in it.
Yeah.
You know, and the desperation turned to passion after I got clean. And it was like, okay, you mean to tell me that all I have to do is take this information you're giving me, practice it, and then when someone asks me, help them to learn how to do that. It was really that simple.
Yep.
Turn away from the problem, I was taught. Because when I think about the problem, it gets bigger. If I turn away and put myself out there to someone who needs help, then I'm not thinking about me. Because I have to lose that to be able to, you know, find out what God's will is and the power to carry it out, to do that. I have to lose this. It's amazing. It's incredible.
The self-centeredness you're talking
about. Ego.
Yeah, and the pride. You know, pride is a killer.
Mm-hmm.
People can't ask for help. That's why they die from this disease. Because they just won't ask for help. And all they got to do is come in a meeting and sit down in a seat. And they just can't do it.
Pick up that phone and just call somebody.
Pick up the phone and call us.
They can call, right, Trina?
609-241-7103.
That's
right. Ask questions, find out. I got this cold.
They could ask you anything they want.
Yeah.
What time is it, Ken?
But that's good, man. It's, I don't know. It's probably a little after 9, John.
It's 9-11.
You know, 9-11.
Oh,
there you go. Wow,
isn't
that
word for the week? Wow, look at that. It was right on top of it.
Yeah, so.
So what do you think about all that?
Well, I mean, I love helping people. It's one of the reasons I wanted to, be involved with you with this. I mean, it's a selfless service.
That's awesome.
Not really looking for nothing, but just kind of showing up. Hopefully someone's listening.
Bless you.
I'd like to think that they are. I just know that there's been so many times where the message was carried and I didn't pay attention because I was blind. I was obsessed with my own self-obsessions. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was just the truth. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm smart or anything, but I was so blinded, I couldn't really listen to people. And you know, you had listened to people, and, you know, Johnny had listened to people, and I guess I listened to some people, but I'm just glad to be clean today.
Yep.
You know, and involved in with this organization, you know, doing this. I go to meetings. I sponsor a couple people. I work all day. I don't have a problem dialing 10 digits. I send out probably over 75 texts a day to keep in touch with people. Sometimes I think I'm saying some things. It's kind of like thought-provoking, and I've had people send messages back to me saying, wow, I'm so glad you sent that to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it meant anything to them, you know what I mean? But I'm just kind of like, it's a way for me to keep in touch.
My one
sponsee. And I'm so used to not keeping in touch.
Oh, yeah. My one sponsee and I, every morning I read the daily reflections on my phone, and then I send it to her.
Yeah.
And then I say, what do you think? You know, get her to read it and get her to think about it. And I always suggest to them here at a recovery house, read with them in the morning. Get one or two girls. That's all you need. Mm-hmm. You know, and read something.
Right. Well, today's just for today was accepting life as it is. I mean, if you don't accept reality, what does that tell you? That you're not living in reality if you're not accepting it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you're in denial. And it's not a river, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's just the way that, you know, we've conditioned ourselves. We'd rather talk ourselves out of things like you were talking about earlier. I can't do it, or I can do it. It doesn't matter either way. You know, either we can or we can't. But right away, it's that, you know, mindset instead of kind of surrendering and letting God work and, you know, see what opportunities we're presented with.
Right.
You know, and I like being in a good spiritual position, and I ask God for help with that every day.
Yeah.
I believe God has kept me alive for 35 years.
For a reason.
To fulfill a purpose, to be a part of this program, to meet people like you and Allison and Art and, you know, Johnny and I have what I consider a deep relationship. One that was built on intimacy.
Mm.
And that word scared me.
Intimacy.
I had to Google, right, Johnny?
Yeah.
One of my counselors...
I got the iPhone. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to go to Rite Aid to buy a dictionary, right? I'm going to Google it. So now I Google words all the time. And you know what? I did have a word for the week. We try to do that. And these words come to me. I don't really give it a whole lot of... thought at all. Maybe I should. I know you're sorry to hear that I didn't put any effort in, but the recurring theme for me tonight after meeting Trina and all was the word vigilant. I heard her talk a lot about it. You know, vigilant is, where is it? I like to read what it says here because I used to think words meant a certain thing and I was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, vigilant is, jeez, I just had it. We should probably take a break here, John.
So you know, one of my favorite
sayings. There goes my Google skills.
One of my favorite sayings is, I can't, he can, I'm going to let him. It's like one of my favorite things, what you were just talking about, like that living in God's will, like living in, like, okay, so all I right, can't do this. All right, look, I killed some time.
You
go
filled
ahead.
It in.
Yeah, look,
it's
good for
you. Vigilant is keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties.
Mm.
You know, I never really thought that. I thought it was sort of like a mindset, but it's a watch. Like when I heard that word watch, I was like, oh, okay, I got to pay attention.
Right.
I mean, how many times have I put myself in dangerous situations because I thought I was okay?
Right.
And I wasn't. And I would end up faltering because I wasn't really on any kind of spiritual ground. Instead of calling and asking for help, hey, a buddy of mine needs to go to a detox. Will you take a ride with me?
Yeah.
We'll go down and get them together. Instead of me saying, I got it. I'll just go down. You know what I mean? When I get down there, it's like war down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a place that I don't feel comfortable anymore.
Oof.
And I don't have to be by myself. To me, that's what NA stands for. Never alone.
Yeah.
And I always thought like I was alone with this disease. It was, you know, my dad really didn't know a whole lot about it. And he said things to me like, well, you shouldn't have never got 30 to begin with. But he also taught me that that whatever happened in my life, I could handle. And that was sort of like a little misguided information because I can't handle everything. I needed help. I needed help with this disease.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't need help being enabled. I needed help getting to a meeting, getting my hand up, getting a home group. And I do all those things today, and I'm so happy to do them. So anyway, that was my word for the week. And
good one. Good one.
Back to you. I got this cold from the baseball game because I was sitting in the rain. I always got to blame something.
But you were networking. That's all that matters.
But, hey.
But it was fun, you know. It was just a great game. I mean, it was just great to see kids play. I was never a big baseball guy, but just kind of being there sitting, you know, people that are in the same, we're all in the same boat, we're in a different cabin, you know, and, you know, we can come together and do things that are worthwhile, you know what I mean? So I got to see Allison on Saturday for the first time and in a while. And that was great. So the same people keep showing up. So there's something to this.
Absolutely.
This isn't an illusion. This is something to this. No. You know, selfless service.
What you were talking about earlier has to do with the reason why we're here. Is because we were led here. I was led here a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And just came and thought, okay, what is this? Because we did the Rock Fest. We did all that. And you know, I liked what they did here, and I came back, and I got people to come with me, and more and more. And, you know, I don't question that. Like, anything that's good, because I show up in places, and I go, how did I get here?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know. But it's a lead that I follow in my heart. It's a feeling that I can't deny, and that's a spiritual thing. And having that relationship with the loving God shows me that, you know, I always ask the question when I speak anywhere, how do you practice? I'm not sure if that's the right word. Practice the presence of God in your life. I don't know if that's the right word. And for years I've been saying that. No one's ever answered me. No one ever responded to it. So I guess either they weren't listening or they didn't relate. But I saw that in a book that I was reading because I love to read, and it said that the practice of the presence of God. So that's my thing. Like, I go where we go. Like,
I think practicing the presence of God is just living.
Mm-hmm.
Living without using, you know? Doing what I always say, we become who God intended us to become in the first place. You know?
Yeah.
God didn't intend for us to be addicts and heroin addicts and robbers and thieves. And He wanted us to live a God-filled life, you know? And we went off that straight and narrow. We went down a different road. And, like, so when we come into recovery.
It's called free will.
Right. The free will. It's that apple, you know? And when we come into...
I happen to like apples.
I love apples. But when we come into the program of recovery, like, you know, we become, if we do what we're supposed to do, we become that person that God wanted us to be. Mm-hmm. You know, we live a fulfilled life.
Absolutely.
You know?
I
go to bed every night, I lay my head on the pillow, and I don't have any regrets. You know? Because I know that if I do have a regret, it's going to eat at me, and I just let it go. I say to my sponsees, I'm like,
yeah, so you
just
don't
be like Elsa. Let it go.
You don't do anything to regret.
And I do sometimes. I absolutely do sometimes do things that I will regret.
We'll wander off course.
You know? Wander. And I free will, you know? Like, absolutely.
Free will.
Bad movie. But, you know, like...
Free Willy was a bad movie?
I hated that movie. No,
I can't wait till Max comes out. That looks pretty cool. Ooh. About the dog?
Oh, I don't know.
Is that the Shaggy dog?
No, Max, the dog that was trained in war to save people and sniff out things.
I'm excited for Finding Dory. I don't know.
They trained this dog to go to Afghanistan and...
Okay. German Shepherd?
Trailers look good for that.
Did you see it, Art? So you, everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy.
I watch too much Sprout. I don't know.
Doesn't it? I mean, I like PG-13 movies. I mean, maybe I'm a little weird with that, but I like those kind of movies. They're pretty good.
Depends on the content.
I love documentary movies, so I would probably like Max.
You would love Michael's thing.
I'll have to look into it.
He gave me the DVD for this. What's that? What was that called?
American Epidemic.
Very nice. Yeah, it's really, really to the bone reality stuff. Yeah, you saw it, right? I put it on at the house.
Yep, I liked it. Yep. Yeah, it is an epidemic. That's another reason, because we know that the heroin epidemic, what was it, 35 deaths last week?
Yeah.
Dead AIDS.
It's Kevin really, really scary right now.
You know what I mean? And every time we turn around, you know, there's not a person I'd talk to that knows someone that has died within the last couple of months, actually.
My best friend, I just lost her 2 weeks ago.
I know. If I never met her, can of paint. You know what I mean? Boom. Best friend, she says. That changed the whole tone of the conversation, let me tell you.
But that's the reality of it. And like I tell people this all the time, like, it only takes one time. That's it. And then you leave the family behind asking, why wasn't I good enough? Why didn't they love me enough?
And that's where we got to reach, is the family.
Right.
Because they don't know.
Right.
For 10 families that know, there's 1,000 that don't.
Right.
And they're the ones that say that. But the other ones who want to know,
right,
need to know,
right,
about these kids. Because that heroin, let me tell you something, is stronger than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
Yep.
It's taking people out left and right.
Dropping like
one
flies.
Time.
It's so scary.
One time.
It's so scary what's going on out there right now.
It's incredible.
But you remember, I mean, if you're actively using, the first thing you're thinking about...
Where did they get that?
Is you can handle it.
Yeah.
It won't happen to me.
Yep. And where did they get that? That's a big thing.
Right. Da, 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 da,
where did cop?
And the song goes on and on and on. Inside your own head now. That's where the song goes on.
But we have a responsibility
to educate,
for this,
to teach,
with this show, to reach people who wouldn't ordinarily be reached. So this is one venue. The other one is going to meetings. The other one is carrying our message. But the biggest problem with all of that is you can carry the message, but you're not responsible thing to go.
You can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And like that's the saddest part, that's the thing. You can talk to your blue in the face.
About 60 days ago, I went after my home group. It was late. It was like 11:30 at night. I get a phone call, and a guy, a sponsor, says, I'm going down to Kensington and Cambria to pick up so-and-so. I saw him the other night. He's clean. He's still clean, which is great. But a long time ago, I said, I don't go into the... Daniel didn't go back into the Lions Den to grab his hat. Once he was out, he was out. So I hardly ever do that. Because number one, I'm putting myself in harm's way. Number two, chances are they're not going to come with you anyway. So I said, okay, if you're going, I'll go with you. Let's go. He said, no, he called me, wants us to go get him. We go down there, and it was just like it never, like I never left. And I haven't been on one of them cop corners in 27 years. And it's just as like it was yesterday.
Mm.
But the guy came with us.
Mm.
We got him in treatment that night. So my point for telling you all this is that's my obligation in life, to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's
reaching
asking
for
help. We reach out and give it to them.
Yep.
And not because, you know, there's none of this for me. Well, you know, it is 2:30 a.m. You know, it's where are you? I'll come and get you. But if I get out of bed and get dressed,
right,
you're going somewhere.
That's right.
You're going somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the thing. We're soldiers in an army against in this war against the heroin epidemic, and we're losing badly.
Yeah.
So we need to just keep doing what we're doing. And, you know, I'm proud to be a part of that. I'm proud to be a part of this organization because they say what they do and they do what they say.
Right.
And it's just that simple. So these are people on the front lines fighting this thing. You know, they do everything. They give information to families, do recovery stuff, all that, a whole array of addiction stuff. And that's what we do here. And that's why we have the shows that we do. So we reach out to people.
That's right.
For any different category, you know, look around.
Yeah.
The listeners can't look around, but we can. So, we're winding down here. We got a couple minutes, right? You did a great job, Art.
Art, thank you very much.
Thank you. Good job.
Good job, Art.
You got a great teacher, too. Allison, thank you.
Oh, that's healthy. Sorry.
What's he doing? Taking selfies?
I took a picture of us.
One word to describe your life today. You got 2 minutes. You got 1 minute, actually.
Full.
Impeccable.
No, you can't. You did that last week.
No, I didn't. I didn't use that last week. I was grateful.
I could go on. Full, grateful.
Okay, that's fine.
Fun.
Worthwhile was the word that I used last week.
Worthwhile.
Tranquility.
All purpose. The
time.
Beautiful.
Tranquility all the time.
One word to describe your life.
All the time.
Come on.
All the time. Blessed with the spirit of recovery.
Blessed today.
That's right.
Yep. Blessed today.
That's two
it.
Words.
That's all that matters, right?
Art could do what he wants. How's that?
He's being so quiet. Can't
That's great. Yeah.
Okay, before we
can
go.
Can I come back again? This is so much fun.
www.cityofangelsnj.org to find out what
coming.
We do.
Thank you.
I want to thank Katrina, Art, Allison for doing what they do. They did a great job. I hope you'll join us next week. I hope everybody had a happy Father's Day, and until then, be well.